By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabi Allah, wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurullah. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to our early morning program, Rise and Shine. And yes, alhamdulillah, again, it's a beautiful day because every day is a beautiful day. Every day is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if only we can appreciate the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. We're going to begin the program as we do every day by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam is reported to have said that on the day of judgment, there will be no shade. There will be no shade except for three types of people. Number one is he who removed a worry from my ummati. Number two is he who revives a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And number three is he who sends the Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam abundantly. And the pious predecessors have said, when it comes to when you hear the blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak, and it's mentioned in there that abundantly or a lot, then the pious predecessors have said that if you recite Durood-e Pak, Salawat upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at least 313 times a day, then you'll be classed amongst those people who recite Salawat upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in abundance. So we've said it many, many times before. How long does it take? How long does it take to recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? 313 times. It's not going to be a long time. So please, viewers of the channel, let's make a routine, make it part of our daily routine, that every day we'll recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at least 300 times. The first package of the day, like I said, every day is probably the best package of the day. And that is where we get the opportunity, the blessing, the honor, in fact, of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. I know a lot of households, what happens is that when the Quran is recited on the TV, they turn the sound down because they think it's disrespectful to not listen attentively when the Quran is recited. This is correct. This is true. It is disrespectful to not listen to the Quran when it has been recited. But is it not disrespectful to turn the sound down when the Quran is recited as well? That's something that we need to ponder over. Let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahim wala.
Inna rabbaka yaqdi bainahum bihukmihi.
Beshak tumhara rab unke aapas mein faisla farmata hai apne hukm se.
Wa huwal azizul alim.
Aur wahi hai izzat wala ilm wala.
Fatawakkal ala allahi innaka ala alhaqqil mubin.
To tum allah par bharosa karo, بے شک تم روشن حق پر ہو.
اِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى وَلَا تُسْمِعُ الصُّمَّ الدُّعَاءَ اِذَا وَلَّوْ مُدْبِرِينَ.
بے شک تمہارے سنائے نہیں سنتے مردے, اور نہ تمہارے سنائے بہرے پکار سنے جب پھریں پیٹھ دے کر.
وَمَا أَنتَ بِهَادِ الْعُمْيِ عَنْ ضلالتهم إن تسمع إلا من يؤمن بآياتنا فهم مسلمون.
اور اندھوں کو ان کی گمراہی سے تم ہدایت کرنے والے نہیں, تمہارے سنائے تو وہی سنتے ہیں جو ہماری آیتوں پر ایمان لاتے ہیں اور وہ مسلمان ہیں.
وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ.
اور جب بات ان پر آ پڑے گی, ہم زمین سے ان کے لیے ایک چوپایا نکالیں گے جو لوگوں سے کلام کرے گا, اس لیے کہ لوگ ہماری آیتوں پر ایمان نہ لاتے تھے۔
وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ مِن كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فَوْجًا مِّمَّن يُكَذِّبُ بِآيَاتِنَا فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ۔
اور جس دن اٹھائیں گے ہم ہر گروہ میں سے ایک فوج جو ہماری آیتوں کو جھٹلاتی ہے، تو ان کے اگلے روکے جائیں گے کہ پچھلے ان سے آ ملیں۔
حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوا قَالَ أَكَذَّبْتُم بِآيَاتِي وَلَمْ تُحِيطُوا بِهَا عِلْمًا أَمَّاذَا كُنتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ۔
یہاں تک کہ جب سب حاضر ہو لیں گے، فرمائے گا کیا تم نے میری آیتیں جھٹلائیں حالانکہ تمہارا علم ان تک نہ پہنچتا تھا، یا کیا کام کرتے تھے؟
وَوَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمَا ظَلَمُوا فَهُمْ لَا يَنطِقُونَ۔
اور بات پڑ چکی ان پر ان کے ظلم کے سبب، تو وہ اب کچھ نہیں بولتے۔
أَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِيَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَالنَّهَارَ مُبْصِرًا إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ۔
کیا انہوں نے نہ دیکھا کہ ہم نے رات بنائی کہ اس میں آرام کریں، اور دن کو بنایا سجھانے یعنی دکھانے والا، بے شک اس میں ضرور نشانیاں ہیں ان لوگوں کے لیے کہ ایمان رکھتے ہیں۔
وَيَوْمَ يُنفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَفَزِعَ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَن فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَن شَاءَ اللَّهُ۔
اور جس دن پھونکا جائے گا سور، تو گھبرائے جائیں گے جتنے آسمانوں میں ہیں اور جتنے زمین میں ہیں، مگر جسے خدا چاہے۔
وَكُلٌّ أَتَوْهُ دَاخِرِينَ،
اور سب اس کے حضور حاضر ہوئے عاجزی کرتے۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ ماشاءاللہ، we had the blessed opportunity then, and it is a blessing, you know, if only we understand that it is a blessing to be able to listen to the Quran. And like I said earlier on, you know, in many households we see that when the Quran is being recited on the TV, then we turn the sound down, or we change the channel, because we think it's disrespectful to not concentrate whilst the Quran is being recited, to not listen attentively to the Quran whilst it is being recited. And it's correct, it is disrespectful. It is sinful to not listen to the Quran when it is being recited. But at the same time, for us to switch the channel, for us to turn the sound down, for us to, you know, switch the TV off effectively when the Quran is being recited, just ponder over that. And so whenever the Quran is being recited, please listen to it attentively. The topic that we have today, blessings of sadaqah. Blessings of sadaqah. Now, sadaqah is where we spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, or give something in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. But it's something more than that. It's not just that. There are other ways of giving sadaqah as well. And inshallah, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. The blessings of giving sadaqah, and the best sadaqah, and the different types of sadaqah that we can give. And I hope that time will permit us to cover all of these things in this short space of time. But before we get into the topic properly, let's go to the kalam of the day, inshallah. Once we come back from the kalam of the day, then we'll give you a parable with relating to blessings of giving sadaqah and understanding the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. Because everything that I have, the fact that I have a cup of tea in front of me, you know, the technical staff made me a cup of tea, this is a blessing. You know, believe me or not, this is a blessing. Everything that I have, the clothes that I'm wearing, the imamah sheaf that I'm wearing, the fact that I'm sitting here in front of you, these are all blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So we need to appreciate them. And in appreciating them, we need to show our thanks. And we should give sadaqah in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So let's go to the kalam of the day. And inshallah, when we get back, we'll continue with this topic. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
محمد س
سيد الكونين وثاق عليه محمد سيد الكونين وثاق عليه والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحمي مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العمام مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر وعن علي وعن عثمان ذي الكرم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي جمعا طلبنا منك مغفرة يا ربي جمعا طلبنا منك مغفرة وحسن خاتمة يا مبدي النعم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على
حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها سألتك الخير يا ذا الجود والكرم
مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ viewers I'm going to hope that you enjoyed that kalam as much as we did here in the studio as well and again I keep on saying this every time that the kalams are there to instill love in us for anything and everything that is attributed or connected ultimately to the prophet of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم so even if we do a munkabat about a pious predecessor, then that munkabat, why do we love that person that we're doing in the munkabat? It's because he was a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever you hear any of these, they're all different branches, whether you're talking directly about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether you're talking about the city of Medina, the dust of Medina, the trees of Medina, whether you're talking about the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether you're talking about the pious predecessors, they're all coming back to ultimately developing inside us the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is part of our iman. That is something that we need to develop. That is something that we need to nurture. That is something that we need to look after. And that is something that if we keep on feeding the soul with these beautiful words, then inshallah that love will develop inside us. Viewers of the channel, today we're talking about the blessings of sadaqah and the best blessings, possibly the best sadaqah, inshallah, and the different types of sadaqah as well. Viewers of the channel, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, he said that there were three such people of Bani Israel. One was suffering from vitiligo, and that is where you see the white spots that are developed on people. And he had this white spots developed on his skin. The second, he was a bald-headed person. He didn't have any hair. And the third one, he was blind. And in order to test them, Allah Azza wa Jal continuously sent an angel in the form of a human being to them. Now, the angel first went to the person suffering from vitiligo, this skin disease. And he asked him, what thing do you like the most? What would you like the most? And he said, I like a good color and a healthy skin because due to these white spots on my skin, people dislike me. People make fun of me. People, you know, make things. So the angel then passed his hand over the person's body and his illness was cured and his skin color became normal. The angel then said to him, which wealth do you like most? What kind of wealth do you like the most? And he said, I like camels. And he was immediately given a pregnant she-camel. And the angel then made dua for him, that may Allah Azza wa Jal grant you blessings in this. Then the angel then came to the bald-headed person, the person that didn't have any hair, and he said to him that, you know, what is it that you want the most? What is it you like the most? And he said, I would like to have hair. Because of the fact that I don't have hair, people make fun of me. And so then the angel then passed his head over his head and said to him that, and immediately he had hair. And then the angel said to him that, what wealth would you like? What wealth do you like? And the person replied that, I like cows. And immediately the angel presented him with a female pregnant cow. And the angel also gave him a dua that Allah Azza wa Jal bless you with abundance in this. Then the angel then came to the third person. The third person was a blind person. Same conversation took place and the blind person said that, obviously I don't have eyesight. I would like to have the sight so I could see the blessings of Allah. And the angel passed his hand over the face of this person and his eyesight was restored. The same question was then asked, which wealth do you like the most? And he said, I like goats. And immediately he was presented with a pregnant she-goat, a pregnant goat, yeah? After a short period of time, what happened was that, you know, the camel gave birth to camels and more camels and more camels and more camels and so on. And a whole field was full of camels. Similarly, the cow gave birth to cows and they gave birth to cows and so on and so on. And the whole field was full of cows and the goats, the same thing as well. The angel then came again in the sake of a man and said to him that, I've been on a journey and I've run short in this journey. I've run out of money, I've run out of anything. And there is nothing I have to take me to my destination. But I do hope in the mercy of Allah. This is the angel talking to the person that had a field full of camels, that had his skin condition restored and was now blessed with camels. So the angel said to him that, you know, I'm on a journey. He was in the form of a human being. I'm on a journey. I've run out of my provisions, but I believe in the mercy of Allah Azawajal, and I need your help. And for the sake of the one who has blessed you with beautiful skin, because he had beautiful skin, give me a camel so that I may get to my destination. Listening to this person refused. And he said, oh, I've got so many responsibilities and rights, and I've got this to do, and I've got that to do. I can't give you, possibly give you a camel. The angel then said to him, I do know you. Are you not the one who was suffering from epilepsy? Was you not that person that had that? People used to test you, and you were a poor and needy person. Did Allah Azza wa Jalla not grant you this wealth? So the angel in the form of man said to him, no, I know who you are. You are that person that had a bad skin. Allah Azza wa Jalla restored you the skin, and Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed you with all of this wealth. And he said, no. He said, I have inherited all this wealth from my forefathers. I got all this from my inheritors. I inherited all of this. And the angel then said to him that if you are a liar, may Allah Azza wa Jalla turn you back into what you were. The angel then came to the bald-headed person. And same thing to him as well. That, you know, I've run out of provisions. I need something. Please help me. You've got a field full of cows. Please give me a cow. And the person said, I can't give you a cow. I can't afford to give you a cow. And the angel said to him, were you not that person that was bald-headed? Now you've got beautiful hair. Yeah. Didn't Allah Azza wa Jalla bless you with all this wealth? And again he said, no. I earned this. I got this. I inherited this. This is all mine. I earned all of this. I worked hard for this. So the angel said to him that if you're a liar, may Allah Azza wa Jalla return you to your former self. Then the angel came to the blind person. And when it came to the blind person, he said that I am a poor person. I'm a traveler. My provisions are finished. And in this state, I cannot get to my destination, but I have hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And you are my best hope. For the sake of the one who blessed you with your eyesight, I beg you to give me a goat so that I may get to my destination. And this person who was blind, he now restored his eyes. He replied, yes, I was blind, and Allah Azza wa Jal granted me sight. I was poor, and Allah Azza wa Jal made me rich. You may take whatever you need from my wealth, but Allah Azza wa Jal, take as much as you want for the sake of Allah. I will not stop you. I want to take whatever you want to take it all, take it all. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me this. Allahu Akbar. Upon hearing this, the angel said to him, keep what you have in your possession. Actually, you three were put to a test. And Allah is well pleased with you. And he is displeased with both of your friends. Either the person that had the bad skin and the person that was a bald person. My dear Islam brothers and viewers on the channel, there's a lot to be learned from that parable. Number one is that whatever we have, whatever wealth we have, whatever provisions we have, it is through the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now you may say, like the person in that particular case, he was lying that he had inherited it. But even if you've inherited wealth, then that in itself is a blessing, because that wealth that they earned, you know, how did they earn it? And I think we need to understand that whatever we have in our life, whatever wealth we have, whatever provisions we have, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with this. You may say that, you know, I've said it before, you may say that you work hard, you may say that you've studied hard, you may say that you've had to, you know, invest in education, you've had to work hard to get that degree, you had to work hard to get that job, and you worked hard to get promoted, you worked the extra hours, etc., etc. And yes, you have worked hard, and yes, you had to go and do that degree, and yes, you had to achieve what you've achieved. But then think, just step back one back. Who gave you these opportunities? Who gave you the strength to be able to work hard? Who gave you the intellect to be able to get that degree? Who gave you the opportunity to get that particular job? Why were you chosen in that job? You may say, I was the best. Okay, you were the best, but who made you the best? Who made you the best candidate for that job? Who made you the best candidate for that promotion? I made it. I worked hard. Yes, you did. I'm not doubting your hard work. But Allah Azza wa Jal gave you these opportunities. Allah Azza wa Jal gave you these blessings. You know, I remember once, many, many years ago, I was at university at the time. And a friend of mine, he came into university one day and he was wobbling. And we joked with him. You're not drinking any alcohol, are you? What are you doing? You look drunk. I said, no, I'm just a bit tired. And he was genuinely wobbling. And the next day, two or three days later, I saw him a couple of days later. And again, he was wobbling. And I said, look, something's not right here. Yeah. Come on. Either you're up to no good, yeah, you're doing something wrong, or there's something wrong with you. He said, you know what? I think there is something wrong with me. You know, I want to go to the doctor. He said, but I'm a bit scared. Will you come with me? I said, okay. So we went to the doctors. And the doctor straight away sent us to the hospital. And the hospital, they took some liquid out of his back. And they diagnosed him with an illness that attacks the nervous system. And I can't remember the name of the illness off the top of my head. Please forgive me. And gradually over a period of time, he became bedridden. And I remember once going with my father to go and visit him. And we went and visited him. And he was bedridden. He was in a bed and he couldn't move. And only one of his hands he could barely move. And I remember coming back on the motorway and stopping at a service station. Those of you that know the UK, they have the service stations here. And me and my father, we got out of the car and went to the service station. And I put my hand on the door to open it and I stopped. And I was looking at my hand. And my father said to me, what's up? And I said, oh, buddy, I'm looking at my hand. He said, what do you mean? I said, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed me with the opportunity to open this door. My friend can't do that. He can't open a door. He can't stand up. He can't do all these things. And so you come to realize that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you. The fact that if you can see me, that is a blessing. You can hear me, that is a blessing. The fact that I walked into here today, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, I'm hoping and praying that I can walk out of here today. These are all blessings from Allah. So that is the first thing that we need to realize, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with that. We may have no bank balance. We might not have the latest phone. We might not have a decent car. We might only have a small house. We might be living in rented accommodation. We might be living in shared accommodation. We might be still living in our parents' accommodation. We might have nothing to show for ourselves or would appear to. But the fact that you are alive, the fact that you can see, you can hear, you can talk, you can listen, that you can use your hands, that you can walk, all of these are blessings. Again, I remember once, you know, being in a masjid and we were doing a speech, and I saw that at the back of the masjid they had like a plastic sheeted area. Yeah. And I always wondered why in one corner it had like this rough plastic sheet. And there was a door there. And I thought that, you know, normally people, you know, it's that sort of plastic sheet where people, the rough plastic sheet that people sometimes have in the hallways and the houses. And I thought to myself that, you know, people take the shoes off downstairs and they put the shoes downstairs. Why here? And one day I came to know what had happened was that that was a separate entrance that they made for those people that were disabled and came in the wheelchairs. And I remember one day giving a speech there and someone came in with a wheelchair and he was sat at the back there. And I looked at him and thought to myself that how fortunate am I that I have walked into this masjid, that I'm standing here talking to these people in this masjid. Whereas that person, how difficult was it to actually get to the masjid? And so many things come to your mind when this happens as well, that you think to yourself that, you know, that this person has made this effort, he's come here. And I remember again, you know, maybe I'm going to go off topic a little bit here, but I remember once another instance that I was leaving home and I saw someone, I was at a traffic lights, and I saw a person get off a bus, an English person, and he was on crutches. And he was struggling to walk. When he got off the bus, he stumbled a little bit, but he didn't fall over, thankfully. And he was struggling to walk on these two crutches. I think he had a broken leg. And he struggled to walk, and then there was a road, and he struggled to cross the road, and then there was another road, and he struggled to cross the road. And all this time, I'm sat there in the traffic lights. And what I saw was, you know, because the traffic lights changed, and I moved a little bit forward, and I was there again. And he was actually going to a pub. He was going to a place where he's going to sin, where he's going to be drinking alcohol. And the thought crossed my mind that this person has put this much effort in to get into a place of sin. And yet Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with so much that we don't put that effort in going to the house of Allah. Now that is something that, again, you know, we need to ponder over, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with so much, and yet we still cannot find the energy, the energy to go to the masjid. We find it so hard to go there. The shaitan ties us up. We've got massive chains around our legs, tying us to the house, tying us to the TV, tying us to the mobile phone. that won't enable us. You know, we can get up and play football for 90 minutes, but we can't get up and walk to the masjid. We can get up and go to the gym for an hour and a half, but we can't walk to the masjid. These chains are tying us, you know, this barrier that stops us from going to the masjid. But these are the blessings that we need to be wary of. The second thing from that parable that I mentioned early on with them three people was the fact that he gave. You know, the first two people there were reluctant to give in the way of Allah.
Yeah.
Because they thought, we've earned it, we've given it. And yet, this person now, he was the one that gave in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And not only when he made the intention to give, what happened? Did he lose any of his wealth? No, he didn't lose any of his wealth. You know, the angel said to keep it all. But his intention was to give it all. He said, just take whatever you want. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal has given me. Not only that, when he was willing to give the wealth, the angel said to him, that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with you. Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with you. And surely as a Muslim, you know, if we could hear them words, you know, imagine if you could go to sleep and you could hear the words, Allah is pleased with you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. If there's any way that you could find out if Allah is pleased with you. And he heard them words, that Allah is pleased with him. Why? Because he was willing to spend in the way of Allah, give in the way of Allah. And he also realized, not only am I giving in the way of Allah, but I'm giving what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me. So I'm not really giving anything. You know, take whatever you want, Allah has given me, so take it. And this is the mindset that we need to develop. That, you know, whatever we have got, you know, we need to spend in the way of Allah, give in the way of Allah, and not have this love, that attachment. Them two people, they had that love for them camels, for them cows. They didn't want to give it away. They didn't want to lose one cow, even though they had a whole field full of them. And so we need to have that, you know, that detachment from this dunya. You know, Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawah Islami, may Allah Azza wa Jal keep his shadow upon us. And without a doubt, you know, if it was not for him, I would not be sat here today. This Madri channel would not be here today. Only Allah knows where I would be if it was not for the blessed Amir al-Sunnah. He said that make me dislike the wealth of this world and do not grant me more than my needs. Now we also submit our request in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did dua in the court of Allah. That Ya Allah, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make me dislike the wealth of this world and do not grant me more than I need. And yet what is our mindset? We need more, we want more, we want more. And so, you know, we need to get that right balance. Again, I keep on saying to you, it's no harm in having that car in that house, that nice, lavish lifestyle. But if that lavish lifestyle takes you away from your purpose of life, then this is where you're in destruction. So again, you know, the message I want to give to you before we go to the break, before we go to the reminder of the day, is that number one, whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you in this world, whatever it is, be it in the form, whatever you have got in this world, be it in the form of your materialistic wealth, your car, your house, be it in the form of your education, your health, your ability, your family, your children, everything that you have, your relatives that you have, good, bad, all of them, everything have been given to you by Allah. Allah give you them. There are people that don't have any family. There are people that don't have any home. There are people that don't have any cars. I mean, nowadays, viewers of the channel, if you've been watching, you realize that the floods that are taking place in Pakistan. And, you know, I got sent some videos yesterday and it literally, you know, tears. I was welling up in tears thinking to myself that, Ya Allah, I'm sat here in a car driving. And I remember stopping and looking at a video. And there's people there that have nothing. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla be pleased with those people that are going out to these people, that are going out and delivering the basic needs to them. You know, and again, Amir al-Sunnah has taken it upon himself that again, he's felt the pain of the Ummah and he started this FGRF organization, a wing of Dawah Islami, in which the Fazan Global Relief Fund is which funds have been distributed. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla be pleased with all those people here in the UK and all around the world that are donating in abundance for these people that are suffering, that, you know, this again, those people that are giving in the way of Allah, may Allah Azza wa Jalla accept them and may Allah Azza wa Jalla be pleased with all of those people that are giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. May Allah make it easy for those people that are suffering at the moment. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give them help from the unseen. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the ability to help our Muslim brothers and sisters around the world, not only in Pakistan, but anywhere in the around the world, wherever our Muslim brothers are suffering. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the ability to help them as much as we can. with the mindset that, you know, whatever we have, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us, and we are just giving it back in the way of Allah. Viewers on the channel, we're just going to go to our break of the day. We're going to go to the reminder of the day. Inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue with this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The companion Abu Basra Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, "This salah of Asr was presented to the people preceding you, yet they wasted it. Whoever offers it consistently will be given double reward." Now, what does this hadith mean? Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes in the commentary of this, "Asr prayer was also obligatory upon previous nations, yet they abandoned it and became worthy of punishment. You should take heed from them." Reasons behind Asr bearing twice the reward is because the first reward that accompanies Asr comes with being steadfast in performing it and opposing the actions of previous nations. The second reward will be granted for offering Asr Salah itself, as is granted for offering other Salah. The first reward will be granted for showing consistency in acts of worship. The second will be granted for showing contentment with what has been once granted and leaving all forms of buying and selling. The latter is mentioned as people are usually involved in business at this time and are not taking heed of the Salah. The first reward will be granted for the excellence of Asr, as it is the middle Salah. The second will be granted for steadfastness in performing it. Dear viewers of Madani channel, so many countless blessings of Asr Salah. Why not we make it upon ourselves that we ourselves and with others go to congregation Salah of Asr and perform it? And what will happen because of that? The rewards are in front of you. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. MashaAllah, another beautiful brother there giving us the reminder of the day. And I hope that these reminders can give us food for thought. That's why they're there, these packages of reminders. We have them there to give us food for thought, to make us think. And this is what we're trying to do on Madani Channel. We're trying to make you think. Again, we cannot force you to do anything. I cannot grab hold of you and say, look, read your namaz. I cannot grab hold of you and say, look, do this or do that. All we can do is can make you think and give you food for thought. And you know, there's a saying in English, and I've used it many, many times, that, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot force the horse to drink water. And what we're trying to do here on Madani Channel is make you thirsty, make you think, make you contemplate about your afterlife, about the fact that our life is very, very short, and the fact that how we should have this mindset. You know, as Muslims, many times you look at a person and you say, yeah, this is a Muslim. Why? Because of his dress. You look at a Muslim because of his headgear. You look at a Muslim because he's got a beard. And you know, the sisters, they may be covered up. You look at them and think that these are Muslims. And then you look at the food that you're eating, and then you say, oh yeah, they eat like Muslims as well. They're eating halal food. They're eating this kind of food. And so they look like a Muslim. They eat like a Muslim. You see them that they pray like a Muslim. You see them that they talk like a Muslim. But then do we think like Muslims? And this is where we need to look at ourselves. Do we think like Muslims? And Muslims should have a different mindset. We should have a different mindset. And our mindset should be that this world is just somewhere that we are just traveling through. You know, we're on a boat. We're traveling through this dunya. We have to travel through this dunya. We're traveling through the sea of this dunya. And we just need to make sure that the water doesn't get in the boat. Because when the water gets in the boat, we sink into this dunya and we don't get to our ultimate destination. As Muslims, we need to think to ourselves that, look, you know, I need to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. I need to look out for those opportunities. Yes, opportunities to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And these are all opportunities that Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving you. Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving you the opportunity to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. So whenever you hear that a masjid is being built, whenever you hear that a madrasa is being built, whenever you hear that an appeal is being made, for example, like the floods that are happening, this is your opportunity. Now, that masjid, it will be built. That madrasa, it will be built. And then poor people that are suffering, people will give, other people will give, but it's your opportunity. You should not think, oh, if I don't give, then nobody will give. No, people will give. But if you give, you will benefit from it. This should be our mindset. We should look out for those blessed days, the days of Jummah. We should look out for the blessed month, the month of Ramadan. We should look out for the blessed night, Shab-e-Miraj. You know, the blessed nights of Shab-e-Barat, Laylat al-Qadr. These are the times that as Muslims, you should look for these times. Look for the days of Muharram to fast. You know, look for the days of Zulhajj to fast them specific days. Look for them specific days to benefit from them days. These are all opportunities. And so as Muslims, we need to think like that. We need to think like ourselves, that our mindset should be that, you know, when is my next salah? What should I be doing before the salah? I need to make sure I stop doing this so I can get to salah. I need to make sure that I do this. And your routine should be built around it. So our mindset should be that. Rather than what happens is our mindset is, okay, I need to make as much money as I can. Mars, if I get time, if I get time. No, that's not should be what it like it is. You know, I remember once in a masjid, and there was a speech taking place. And right at the beginning of the speech, the orator, he asked a question. He said, who is the most pious person here? You know, what kind of question is that? And people looked and thought, maybe there's, you know, some scholar here, some great scholars come here. And he said, no, you don't know. He said, you know what? It's possibly the person that came into the masjid, right, left his job, maybe he's a taxi driver, came into the masjid car park, got out of his taxi, ran into the masjid, read the salah, did the dua, is gone out, and now he's gone to earn an halal income. Maybe he's the most pious person. And maybe it is, because these are the people that the deen revolves. You know, the deen is their life and everything else revolves around it. That they make time for these things. So these are the things that we need to think as a Muslim. And sadaqah is something that gives us an opportunity. Gives us an opportunity. This is what we need to understand. It's us an opportunity. We have this blessing. We have the opportunity. We have the blessings. We have the honor to be able to please our Rabb. Not so that we show off. You know, again, people have this mindset that when they give, they want to show off. They take the pictures. You know, nowadays with social media, here I am giving some money, and here's my receipt for the donation to the masjid. And they'll put it on social media that I give £1,000, I give £2,000, I give £5,000. This should not be our mindset. Our mindset should be that we're giving for the pleasure of our Rabbas. That should be the only intention that we have. And fortunate is that person that gives without letting people know. And nowadays it's harder. It's so much harder because with social media, we want everybody to know. We want everybody to know that we're at the front line helping people. We want everybody to know that we're doing this, we're doing that. You know, that I've given money to the masjid. We want people to know these things. And again, I got so many stories to tell you today. I remember once I was traveling and I arrived at a town and I found out where the Sunni masjid was for Jummah prayers. And I went to the Friday prayers. And I arrived maybe, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes before Jamaat time, and the khutbah hadn't started yet. And before the khutbah, after the end of the speech, the chairman of the masjid, he got up, which happens in a lot of masjids, and he started to make some announcements. And the first announcement that he made, well, in fact, it was probably the only announcement that he made. He said to the congregation that, as you know, over the last 4 to 6 weeks, we've not been having any announcements. And the reason being is that during these announcements, we are announcing that such a person is given £50, such a person is given £100. And, you know, there is no need for this, that you're giving for the pleasure of Allah. And the Imam Sahib has spoken to us and he said that, look, you know, them people that are giving money, they're giving for money for the pleasure. Why do you need to announce their names? You don't need to announce their names, you know. But that time, that is the time where the mosque is full. Because traditionally what happens is people arrive late. They put lastminute.com. They arrive quite late. So give me that time. So he convinced the committee that, yeah, okay, we won't make an announcement, give you that time. And so he would, that last 5 minutes, right, it is stated, the chairman said that in the last 5, 10 minutes, he would summarize everything that is given and he would teach something. He would teach them a fiqh masala. He would teach them something about salah. He'd teach them a dua. He would teach them something in last, because everybody's there. But the chairman of the mosque said that unfortunately, we're going to have to start making announcements again. We're going to have to take this time away from the imam. Why? Because our donations have gone down. Allahu Akbar. How sad is that, that unless it's made an announcement that this brother's given £100, I won't give £100. You know, unless it's announced that I give £50, I give £100, then I won't give that money. And this is, again, is a sad state of affairs. That is that what we become like? You know, if Allah Azza wa Jal willed, Allah Azza wa Jal could have made everybody rich. It's not impossible. Allah Azza wa Jal could have made everybody rich. But these are the tests that you've been placed on. The poor, they have the test of showing patience. The rich have the test of how to utilize that wealth. These are the tests that we have. Now, if we utilize that wealth to achieve fame, then that's what you will achieve. If you utilize that wealth to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, you'll attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. But this wealth, Allah Azza wa Jal, He could have given it to everybody. And there's people that have said that there's enough wealth, there's enough food to go around for everybody. But Allah Azza wa Jal has willed that certain people be rich, certain people be poor. So that we can have that as our test. And a lot of people said that although it would be apparently appear that the test of the poor is harder, in actual fact, the test of the rich is harder still, if only we understand. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and it is He who has made you vicegerents, successors in the earth, and ranked some of you high above others, in order that He may test you with what He has bestowed upon you. Surah Al-An'am, verse 165. And regarding this blessed verse, Alama Maulana Sayyid Mufti Muhammad Nimuddin Murabadi Rahmatullah Ta'ala has said, He makes you undergo tests and trials and observes how grateful you are after gaining a high status, blessings and wealth, and how you treat one another. Here it's clearly said, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you that status. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you these blessings. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you that wealth. And now you've been tested that how you treat one another with that status, with that wealth, with them blessings, how do you treat one another? This is your test. And from this verse, viewers of the channel, it has become obvious that this world is a home of tests. This world is a home of tests. This place is a world of trials. And some have been tested with wealth, some have been tested with poverty, some have been tested with the health, some have been tested with it's all about trials. And our life is a whole test. It's an examination. That throughout our life we have these emotions, high, low, happy, sad, angry. Everything comes in front of all of these things that are happening to us. You know, they're all a test. And it's up to us how we get through them. But then when you take that final breath, will you be happy or will you be sad? And all of this life is a test. It is a trial of how we're going to get through this. And again, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, Surah Al-Hadith, verse 10, and what is it to you that you spend not in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, whereas to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth together? We have been motivated here to spend, to give sadaqah. This is what we have. And elaborating on this part, to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth altogether. Alama Maulana Sayyidi Mufti Muhammad Nimuddin Murabadi Rahmatullah Ta'ala said that you will die and wealth will remain in his possession and you will not get the reward of not spending. And if you not spend, and if you spend in the way of Allah, you will get the reward. That's obvious though, isn't it? That whatever wealth I have, I can't take with me, can I? And even if I could, even if you have, you hear these weird stories nowadays that people, I want to be buried in my sports car. I want to have the gold buried inside me. I want to have these people. And there were people of the past that had this wild idea that, you know, they would take the wealth with them to the afterlife and they would be buried with gold and things like this. Obviously, this is not true. You can be buried with all of the gold, all of the diamonds of this dunya. It will not help you at all. It will not help you at all. In fact, it will be a cause of your destruction. That wealth that you spend. I remember reading once that a person that in his will, he said that I have a warehouse full of dates. And when I die, give all of these dates in the way of Allah. And so when he passed away, the dates were all distributed in the way of Allah. And so when the warehouse was completely empty, there was some like, you know, squashed dates on the ground, you know, as it happens with you, things get fallen on the ground. And a pious person picked up a date that had been squashed on the ground. And he said that if this person had given this whilst he was alive, he would have got more reward for giving this whilst he was alive than giving all of this after he's passed away. Giving whilst you're alive, that is the test. Giving whilst I need my wealth. I might say I need my wealth. This is the time to give it. Once I'm passed away, what do I need it? You know, as soon as I breathe my last, then straight away, the inheritors are thinking, what is my share? What is my share? What am I going to get? What am I going to? This has all been thought of. This has all been planned. And people are doing this. So this is something that we need to, you know, during our lifetime, whilst Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with life, whilst we have this life, this is the time that we should spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Similar at another place, we have been persuaded to give sadaqah, and it has been stated in Surah Al-Imran, verse 92, you shall never attain virtue until you spend in Allah's cause the things that you love. And Allah is aware of what you spend. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Spend, cause the things that you love. Spending that you love. And nowadays we are honest with ourselves, we love our wealth. You know, we'll do anything to make more. Spend that, give that in the way of Allah. Again, with the mindset that I'm not losing out here. I'm getting an opportunity here to spend in the way of Allah. I've been blessed with this opportunity to spend in the way of Allah. This should be our mindset. And the mindset should be that I am investing this. People invest in all sorts of things nowadays. People are investing in plots, people investing in shares, investing in all sorts of things. Invest in the hereafter. You know, in our office at the moment, they've been brothers have invested in plots. And these plots, they'll come to fruition in maybe 4 or 5 years' time, that the plots will be paid off and they'll get the possession of the plots in 4 or 5 years' time. Who knows whether we will live that long? But if you invest in the hereafter, no matter how long you live for 1 day, 1 minute, or 100 years, you will benefit from that investment if we invest in the hereafter. Commenting on that ayat of the Quran that I just mentioned, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, you shall never attain virtue until you spend in Allah's cause the things you love, and Allah is aware of whatever you spend. Allama Mawlana Sayyidi Mufti Muhammad Nimuddin Marabadi Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated that Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, spending here refers to the general spending of all sadaqah, that in the possession which Muslims like and spend for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla in his path is also included in this verse. Even if it's only a date, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Ta'ala used to purchase sacks of sugar to give in sadaqah. He was asked, why don't you give its value in sadaqah? And he replied, I like sugar, so I want to spend the thing most liked to me in the way of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jalla himself motivates us to spend the things which we like the most in his way. Therefore, we should generously give sadaqah instead of being stingy. As we all know that whatever we possess is given to us by Allah Azza wa Jalla. So spending for his pleasure, what he has given to us, will surely increase his blessings upon us. Despite having the ability, if we do not give sadaqah, this could be a cause of losing blessings. Sayyidina Asma bint Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not withhold, otherwise it will be withheld from you as well. Now all people who love their wealth, yeah, if you are lovers of your money, Allah azza wa jalla said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, if you withhold this, then Allah might take it away from you. If you don't spend in the way of Allah, Allah might take it away from you. If he takes it away from you, that's a test. If he keeps it with you, that's a test. Because this life is a test. Everything about this life is a test. But Islam brothers, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the hadith of the day, inshallah. And when we come back from the hadith of the day, we're going to continue about this topic. And maybe, if time permitting, I want to mention a little bit about, because we've been talking now a lot about sadaqah, about money, actual, you know, cash, giving sadaqah in that way. But there's other forms of sadaqah that you can benefit as well from, inshallah. So let's, inshallah, go to the hadith of the day. And when we come back, inshallah, we'll talk about the other forms of sadaqah as well, inshallah. Sallu alal habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The entire Quran is very powerful and has a great effect on the reader. But even within the Quran, there are certain surahs that have special merit and virtue. And one such surah is Surah Yasin. And it's referred to as the heart of the Quran. Many people memorize Surah Yasin Sharif. They recite it throughout their lives. We should also commit to memorizing this blessed surah. It's the heart of the Quran. And Sayyiduna Ikrimah, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayhi, states that whoever recites Surah Yasin in the morning to begin the day, meaning that person begins the day with Surah Yasin, he will remain happy until the evening. This is just one narration. There are so many other narrations regarding Surah Yasin. If someone recites it once, it's as if he's recited the Quran 10 times, meaning the reward is like that. And also, a narration tells us that when you recite Surah Yasin before your tasks, before any important task, inshallah, that will be fulfilled in accordance to your desire as well. So recite the Quran, and specifically recite Surah Yasin whenever you get a chance, to attain much barakat and blessings.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Muslim channel, we're coming towards the end of the program. I know there's so much I want to say to you with regards to the blessings of sadaqah. I'm going to give you a few hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then I'm also going to give you other ways or forms of ways that we can give sadaqah without actually giving money as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that Allah azza wa jalla said, O son of Adam, deposit something to me out of your treasure. It will neither burn, sink, nor be stolen. I will give you a full return at that time when you will be very needy of it. I will give you a full return at that time when you will be very needy of it. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, start your morning with sadaqah because trouble does not approach due to giving sadaqah. And you see these people, I've seen it when I've traveled abroad, that in the morning before they leave the house, a lot of people even here that they have, we have these money boxes of Dawat Islami, they put them in the house. Before they leave home in the morning, they'll put a few coins in there to start the day with spending in the way of Allah. And again, what a beautiful way to start the day. And here we are told that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to us that start your morning with sadaqah, because troubles do not approach due to giving sadaqah. It pushes troubles away from you. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, the sadaqah of a Muslim increases his life and rids him of a bad death, and Allah, through its blessings, removes arrogance and boasting, a bad habit of talking proudly about your own abilities and feeling pride. That if you give in the way of Allah, you spend in the way of Allah, then inshallah, you will avoid a bad death. And what is a bad death? The worst death that you can have is dying without iman. And by giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, you will die with iman. And we're also told that giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal removes arrogance and removes boasting. This self-praising of ourselves will be removed, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Again, an illness of the soul that we need to remove. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that certainly sadqa protects the giver of sadqa from the heat of the grave, and certainly a Muslim will be under the shade of his sadqa on the day of resurrection. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So many blessings are spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. In the final hadith that I'm going to give to you today, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one who gives sadqa for the pleasure of Allah, that sadqa becomes a shield for him against the hell. So from these hadith pak that we just mentioned, sadqa prevents disasters and afflictions. It also increases one's life. It removes a bad death. Sadqa removes arrogance and pride. It removes the heat of the grave. Sadqa will be a shadow for us on the day of judgment, and it will save us from the torment of the hellfire. And this is where we need to spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Like I said, Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses us with this wealth. Time is against me. I'm going to mention a few blessings of sadqa without actually money. Yes? And you'll say to you, you've been talking so far about money, all the time spending money. But there are other forms of sadqa. And this is the beauty of our deen. If we are aware, you know, you may think, well, I've not got a lot of money, I can't care. But there are ways of giving sadqa without actually putting your hand in your pocket and taking the money out. You know, without getting your credit card out, without taking your debit card out, without taking money at the bank, there are ways of giving sadqa. This is the beauty of the deen. And this is why it's very important for us to have that knowledge. Because knowledge empowers us. Knowledge gives us the ability. Knowledge gives us the ability. Again, that mindset. Our mindset should be that I want to please my Rabb. How do I please my Rabb? How do I attain success in this dunya? Yeah, attain success in this dunya is not through having that bank balance. Success in this dunya is dying with iman, with my Rabb happy with me. And if you can become aware, in the same way that if you are you're a businessman or you want to start a business, you become aware of all the different angles, all the different ways of making money and how you can achieve your goal. You don't just go down one path, you find all the different opportunities. In the same way, to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, to give sadaqah in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, if we know, we have this knowledge, then we can empower ourselves and act upon it. Smiling. Smiling to your fellow Muslim is a sadaqah. How hard is that? How hard is it for me to smile? You know, I see Amir Sunnah that whenever he meets people, you know, when people are lining up to meet Amir Sunnah, he gives everybody a smile. And the beauty of smile, I know I'm going to go off the topic again. The beauty of Amir Sunnah's smile when he meets you, the welcome that he gives you, he makes you feel that Amir Sunnah has been waiting for you the whole night. You know, there might be 500 people in the line. But the welcome that he gives you, the smile, and he gives it to everybody. The welcome and the smile that he gives you, he makes you feel welcome. He makes you feel happy. And now when you see that smile, you understand that smiling to a fellow Muslim is sadaqah. So please have a smiley face. You know, don't have a grumpy face. Be smiley with people. Be pleasant with people. Be happy with people. Be nice to people. Allahu Akbar. The act of calling towards righteousness and preventing from evil is a sadaqah. Allahu Akbar. Congratulations to all of those people that are actively involved in the works of the Islam, where you're calling people to the path of righteousness, you're preventing them from committing sin. You are, inshallah, attaining the pleasure of Allah, and this is a form of sadaqah. This is a form of sadaqah. Guiding a person who has lost his way is a sadaqah. You know, when someone's lost and they ask you the way, I can't be bothered, I ain't got time. You know, check Google, you know, go and get your phone and find the route. Why are you asking me? Give them time. How long does it take to give them or even if you say, brother, I'm sorry, you know, I don't know. You know, I wish I could help you. Yeah. You smiled, you've helped them. You know, you're not pushed them away. And you smiled as well. And that's a form of sadaqah, as we already know. Removing a stone, thorn, or bone from a pathway is a sadaqah. So anything that could cause a distress or a difficulty to someone, that when they walk on that stone or they walk on something, it can cause a problem. If you remove that and put it to one side, this is again is a form of sadaqah. What a beautiful deen that we have. Allahu Akbar. That removing a stone, a boulder, a thorn, anything from the pathway, yeah, that the people are traveling on, this is a form of sadaqah as well. Pouring water from your bucket into the bucket of your brother is a sadaqah. Giving them water, giving them food. Pouring water in there, giving them food as well. This is a form of sadaqah. Lending money is a sadaqah. Allahu Akbar. Basically, helping your fellow Muslim brother. Abstaining from creating troubles is a sadaqah. Staying away from creating problems. This again is a form of sadaqah. So all of these things that I've mentioned so far, if you know, how much money have I spent of yours so far? By smiling. How much money have I spent of your money so far by removing a stone from the pathway, by helping someone, by guiding someone, by preventing someone from committing a sin, by encouraging someone to commit a good deed? How much money has that cost you? It's not cost you anything. But your name will be written amongst those that has given sadaqah. Allahu Akbar. Doing justice between two people, helping someone mount an animal, or helping someone pick up his luggage, speaking good, walking for offering salah, and removing a painful thing from the pathway, all are sadaqah. I keep on encouraging you to go to the masjid. By walking to the masjid, walking to salah, this is a form of sadaqah. You'll be rewarded for every step that you take. If you're going in the car, for every revolution of your wheel, you'll be taken. Allahu Akbar. Planting a tree, plowing a field out of which a person, bird, and animal eats from is also a sadaqah. These are the forms of sadaqah. But they're also superior sadaqahs. And I know I've only got a few minutes, but superior sadaqah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us forms that I said, these are the superior sadaqah. A poor person who gives sadaqah according to his financial ability, that is the superior form of sadaqah. To give sadaqah while someone is healthy, to give sadaqah despite being greedy, and to give sadaqah despite the fear of being poor, our best sadaqah. Likewise, a Muslim's act of gaining knowledge and then imparting it to his Muslim brother is also a form of sadaqah. To give food to a hungry person until he is full is one of the superior sadaqah. To give sadaqah in Ramadan is a greater reward. To give sadaqah to a relative who bears a malice towards you, is also a form of superior sadaqah. To make reconciliation between two angry Muslims, two Muslims have fallen out, to reconnect them is also one of the greatest sadaqah that you can give. To get a prisoner released is a form of sadaqah. To prevent someone's blood from being spilled, to do a favor for any Muslim brother, and to talk about good things are also regarded as the blessed sadaqah. Viewers on the channel, once again, time is against us. There's so much that I could say, so much we could talk about this. But these are all these booklets, these that I'm relating to you, that I'm giving you these parables from, these hadiths from. They're all available from www.dawatslim.net. Please download them, read them, watch the programs on my channel, and acquire the knowledge of the deen. Empower yourself, so that you can live your life as you should be living your life. You've been watching Arise and Shine. And until the next time, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will